Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be blessed. Cal is going to come up and share with us in a moment. And Cal has been a part of Pastor Randy's hospice for about 10 years, he was sharing with me. And he and I have run into each other over those 10 years repeatedly. And I know, I should watch where I'm going. Thank you. Another dad joke, this will be the very first time I've actually heard him share, so I'm excited about that. He has been, as I said, a chaplain with Pastor Randy's ministry for 10 years, and before that, many years ministering to the body of Christ, more years than I have, so he's going to bring a lot more experience to the pulpit than I have, but I'm blessed. Cal, come on up.
Well, thank you, and good morning to everyone. It's great to be here, to be asked to share the Word of God. I kind of feel a little bit like this is my first time, and your first time hearing me. I feel like the young man that came to become the pastor of a church, and he wanted to impress the people, so he thought, When you introduce me, I'm going to say, I come in the name of the Lord. So I say to you this morning, I come in the name of the Lord. And this young man, when he was introduced by one of the elders of the church, stood up, but he didn't see something on the platform. The carpet had a hole in it, and he caught his toe and he tumbled and fell. So he got up and he said, do it again, do it again. So the elder introduced him. The young man jumped up and said, I come. But he caught his heel that time and fell again. He said, do it again. Third time's the charm. We're going to be okay. So he was introduced by the elder. And the young man, making sure he wouldn't trip over that, went too far, and he yelled, I come, and hit the pulpit, knocked it off, rolled down the front wall, off the platform, landed on the pastor, landed on the front man, and he stood up and said, oh, I'm sorry. And the older gentleman looked at him, he said, well, you warned me three times you were coming. I hope I don't have to do that this morning. Because I come to you truly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thankful to be here. I'm honored that I've been asked to share with you the Word of God. And I love how the Holy Spirit works. If you listen carefully, and I know you will, because you're taught well in this church, and I know that. But if you listen carefully, how the Lord put this service together, some things I say, we've already sung. I love how the Holy Spirit works that out. It's amazing to me, down through the years, in the years that I pastor, I am a preacher's kid. So I've been in church all my life. I'm a day or two older than some of you, so I have been in church all my life. I've seen the good, the bad, and the not so good all my life. But I love when God has established his church, and that's what he did when he gave us Jesus, who is the head. When we come together, I love it when the Holy Spirit orchestrates the whole time together. what we worship. See, the spirit of the church is worship. And the mindset of the church is committed to the Word of God. But the heart of the church is love. And that is so important. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love that scripture, as you all do. Well, that being said, when Randy called me and said, I would like for you to speak, and I told him, what do you think I should do? He said, I'll leave that up to you. And I said, are you sure you want to do that? He said, yes, I'm going to leave it up to you. Isn't it amazing? Randy asked me to come and speak to you, and he doesn't show up for me today. If you're out there watching, Randy, I got your number. So I went to the Lord and I said, What do you want French Valley Calvary Chapel to hear from you today? And He spoke into my heart something that is very important that I think we're struggling with in this day and age in which we live. The Bible says that in the last days there's going to be perilous times. How many know we are in those times? It is perilous. I won't take time to read that. It's in the third chapter of the book of Timothy. And I won't take time to read all of everything that's going on, but it is personified horrible in the world system. We are in perilous times. All we need to do is pray for what is going on in Afghanistan and other parts of the world. But we have to understand that we are in perilous times. And what is affected in all of this is our peace. To title my sermon or my sharing with you today is How to Be Secure in an Insecure World. Let me ask you where you get all your information. Do you get it from the Times? Now, I get this, I had it come. You've heard of the Epic Times. It's not the LA Times or the New York Times. The Epic Times. Now, the Epic Times is probably the most accurate of information that we could get in the media. They seem to be the most honest. But you know, even reading the Epic Times doesn't bring peace. There's only one issue that brings peace into our heart, and that is a relationship with God Almighty. And I think what I am sharing today is nothing new as far as information, but the Holy Spirit speaking to my spirit and heart and mind to help us as we negotiate and maneuver through what's out ahead of us over the next day, week, month, years, whatever. But we have to walk as children filled with the peace of God. And how I knew I was supposed to do this, I have pastored many years. My wife and I have been married 54 years. And except for the last 10 years, about 30-some-odd years of that, we were in the pastorate. And as a pastor, I always felt it was important to make sure that everything I said was biblically oriented. So I come this morning not to tell you about the Epic Times, but Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30, verse 19, our times are in His hands, and we have to trust Him. So I'm going to help you and I understand what it is to be in the security as a believer. Galatians chapter 5. Turn in your Bibles if you have. And forgive me today. I asked my wife to get me a new Bible, and so she went online to get me a new Bible. And because at my age, the eyesight goes a little bit, so I needed a bigger print. You understand that? And she got me, and I love it, the New Living Translation. Is that okay this morning? It's a chap, but turn to chapter 62 of the book of Psalm and put your finger there. But I got it because it's easy for me to read today. Is that okay? I just wanted to clarify that. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 speaks to us of the fruit of the Spirit of God. You're going to start the book of James next week. I love that book. That first chapter, it says, count it all joy. Now, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, after the word love, the next word is joy. Everything about God is love. He loved us first. Not that we loved him, but he loved us first. I've already quoted John 3:16. You walk through this book, and it's a love book to us as his church. And we've already walked through and understand how much he loves us. But the character of that love is joy, which is love's strength. Your pastor will share all that with you. Then peace, which I'm going to talk about today, is love's security. And you'll find in that first chapter, patience, which is love's stability. Interesting, isn't it? And then love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, which is love's conduct. I had to think for a minute. Kindness, which is love's conduct. Goodness, which is love's attitude. Gentleness, which is love's humility. Faithfulness, which is love's confidence. And self-control, which is love's victory. That's another whole teaching. I won't go in there. But I wanted to establish why I feel peace is our security. Because that's what God wants us to be. Absolutely at peace and secure in an insecure world. And so as I asked Randy, I went to a whole bunch of old sermons. Now, you got to know, I love modern technology, and I love everything you can go to, but here's how I grew up. I wrote everything out. That's how I learned over the years, and I still do that. I wrote out. But I went to, and I opened up a folder, and it's like God said this. And the page was filled with a number of scriptures on peace. So I looked at it, and I thought, okay, you want them to understand they can walk in peace. But they know that, Lord. And the Lord said, you don't know. Maybe somebody needs to hear that today. So I looked at that, and I began to write down some other things. And I wrote this, Leviticus 26:16, and Haggai 2:9. Both say the same thing. It says, God says, I will give you peace. I said to Pastor before the service, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. What God gives, he doesn't take back. And if he says, I will give you peace, he means it, and he gives it. John 14:27, Jesus said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. I think you and I probably have to deal with fear every day. Anybody ever get afraid with everything going on? Come on. Sure you do. I've been walking with the Lord for a lot of years, but there are days that I'm filled with fear. But the Bible says God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So, if the Word of God says, don't be troubled or afraid, we move from the shadow of fear into the glory of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And Habakkuk 2:4, I believe it is, close to there, it says, the just shall live by faith. And faith is an important thing, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we move from the shadow of fear into the glory of faith, and that brings peace. I like what David said what Paul said in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of heart which comes from Christ be always present. And then Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you this so you will have peace of heart and mind. Cheer up. I have overcome the world. Well, we can say amen and goodbye. But we're not going to. You see, I grew up where preaching went on for hours. So I'm not done. I'm just beginning. Let's go to Psalm 62, shall we? And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Now you got to understand, David wrote most of the psalm, and he was hiding for his life, and he was in lots of turmoil. And if there's anybody that was worried about his life, David was. But in the midst of this, by the power of the Holy Spirit that was working on him at that moment, he wrote these words. It's amazing. It's amazing words. Listen, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies come against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face. They curse me to their in their hearts. Do we know anybody like that? I think all of us do. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales together, they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. If your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. Now, there's four things out of this that I'd like to talk about. What a powerful word that David penned by the Holy Spirit's prompting. See, the Word of God has been given to us by the anointed Holy Spirit on men's lives. They wrote what God said to say. You can read that in the New Testament. But here's David who was having issues and problems, but in the midst of it, the first point I want to make, he focused on God. He focused on God. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will never be shaken. I like what he wrote in Psalm 55:22. He says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. David also wrote in Psalm 25:1, my eyes are always on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Where do you focus? Now, I'm not saying it's not important for us to understand what's going on. We need to know. But as a believer, we have hope. This doesn't give us hope. And so we need to focus on God. Why? Well, in the beginning, God. You know what I love about Calvary Chapel? And I remember the good old tent days back with Chuck, way back. I was a staff pastor at another church in Orange County, and we'd go over. And the first time I ever went to Calvary Chapel under the tent, Lonnie Frisbee was teaching. He was about as thin as that, wasn't he? He was a small guy. But man, could he open the Word of God. And I heard them. But it was a marvelous time. And as Calvary Chapels have over the years walked through the Scripture, you got to go back to that very first statement. In the beginning, God. That's what it's all about. This is his word. He gave it. So why do we focus or look at other things? Why do we get all messed up by focusing on everything else? Oh, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do? Now, there are things that come that we have to focus on and deal with. But you know what I've noticed about God? Casting all our care upon him because he cares for us. Every little detail God wants to put together. As I was sitting here in the worship songs we were sitting in, and I was listening, Lord, you put this together. Exactly what I wanted to say. We've already worshiped and said those words. I love it how the Lord deals with that. And in the midst of our focusing on God, you know what he brings? Peace to our hearts and our lives. Peggy and I used to sing together many years ago. We did a little evangelizing. You know what? Does anybody know what an evangelist is? Yeah, we did a little evangelizing. We used to sing a song that became sort of our signature song wherever we went. It is just simply said, don't take your eyes off the Savior. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You know the great story of the disciples in the boat? And all of a sudden they see a figure walking on the water. And Peter goes, I know who that is. Here I come. Here comes the me. Over the side of the boat he went. It reminded me, our oldest daughter, when she was a little girl, used to walk in the room and she'd say, here comes the me. You see, we can't focus on me. But you know the story. Peter went over the side and he was walking on the water. And all of a sudden, he realized where he was and began to sink. Why? He took his eyes off the Lord. Why am I saying this to you? Because I believe that there are all of us in this room that from time to time in our weekly progress, we take our eyes off the Lord. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to seek the Lord while he may be found. For he is my help. Because Isaiah 43 says, I am the Lord and there's no other Savior. I am the only God. I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Hallelujah. Focus on God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to focus on the Lord. Proverbs 17:24 says, sensible people keep their eyes glued on wisdom. So where does wisdom come from? The Lord. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians. You can read the gift of wisdom. And any of you lack wisdom, the Bible says, ask and I'll give it freely. And so we need to focus on the Lord. And then Ecclesiastes 2:14 says, for the wise can see where they are going, but the fools walk in darkness. Focus. That's what David did. He alone is my rock. He focused on the Lord. Well, in focusing on the Lord, then, how do we keep that focus? Well, I like what David did in verse 5 and 6. He repeated himself. Let me read it. Let all that I am wait quietly before you, God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. Didn't we just hear that? Of course we did. So I say to you, if you focus on the Lord, then counsel yourself with the word. If we focus on God, he has given us his word and we focus on him. Psalm 73, verse 24 and 26 says, guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. What good counsel. Peggy and I were faced with a decision yesterday about something that we thought we wanted to buy. And as I was trying to figure out what we should do, I had to believe my own words. I said, oh, Lord, I need counsel. And the Lord spoke to me as clear as could be and said, not now. And so we chose not to do that. What counsel from God's word and how he spoke to me. I'll take care of you. The point is, it brought peace. It brought peace. We didn't have to worry about what we were going to do or not going to do. Proverbs 11:14 says, without wise counsel, a nation falls. Are we watching it? Wise counsel is not in our nation right now. The greatest counsel in the word is the word of God. Now, just for a few minutes, and I promise not to read the whole chapter, but Psalm 119 is probably the greatest counseling chapter in the Bible. They all are good, but Psalm 119, let me read just a few of the verses for you. Joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil and they walk only in his path. What great counsel. Verse 9, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. Verse 24, your laws please me. They give me wise advice. Verse 33, teach me your decrees, O Lord, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart. Verse 48, I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. Verse 57, Lord, you are mine. I promise to obey your words with all my heart. I want your blessing. Be merciful as you promised. Verse 73, you made me, you created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. Verse 81, I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. Verse 89, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Verse 93, I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Verse 114, you are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Verse 129, your laws are wonderful. No wonder I obey them. Verse 162, I rejoice in your word like one who discovers great treasure. I hate and abhor all falsehood, but I love your instructions. I will praise you seven times a day because all your regulations are just. Those who love your instruction have great peace. You talk about being secure. Focus on God and let His word counsel. You know what's important? I'm thankful that you have a great teaching pastor. I pray you bless him. I know Randy's a good teacher of the word too, and I bless him. But you know what? Those guys don't even come close to the greatest teacher in this life, and He is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't have to be ashamed. One translation says, rightly dividing. Another translation says, handling accurately the Word of God. Study to show yourself. Listen, folks, allow God's Word to counsel you in every circumstance and situation. And we need the counsel of God like never before because we live in perilous times. But it brings peace. It brings peace to your heart and your soul. So what's the third thing I want to tell you about? I don't think I have to stay here long, but it's an important point. Pin your future hopes on and in Christ alone. Your future. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 62. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge and rock. How could he know he has a victory when he isn't fighting anything? He's still hiding. Well, that's what we do. We pin our hope and our future in God. You know, God's got a great future for us. 2 of our 4 kids used to travel with us when we were on the road. And every once in a while, we would let them sing. Little Vanjie, little Randy. Now it's Randy and, well, Vanjie. But they used to sing, my hope is in heaven. It's waiting for me. And when I get there, how happy I'll be. What a cute little song. But let me tell you, that's the truth. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would tell you. And I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, our future and our hope. And we don't lay up treasures here on earth. Our treasure is our relationship with God by what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, coming out and giving us that eternal life. And as we focus on God and allow His word to guide us, we can pin our hope and our future on Him and Him alone. And know that what we give to Him, Psalm 37:37, look at those who are honest and good. Am I looking at people who are honest and good in here this morning? I'm looking at your pastor. Yeah, okay. For a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. See, peace isn't something that comes and goes. Peace is something that is established because God is, His word is, and your future is. When I first started as a chaplain, I was excited because I could tell people about Jesus every day, and it was just I was just looking forward to it. I've told the story, and I don't know if Randy's watching us this morning or not, but I remember Randy putting his finger in my face, and he said, "If you don't tell people about Jesus, I'll fire you." Can you see Randy doing that? Yeah. And I thought, man, I can do this. This is going to be great. And I went into a facility, one of the facilities. We had a patient, and when I walked in, I introduced myself to this gentleman. I'll leave him nameless. And I walked in, and I said, "I'm Chaplain Cal, and I'm part of the team. I get to come, but I'm not going to deal with anything of medical with you. I get to pray for you." And he looked at me, and he put his hand up, and he said, "Oh, wait a minute. I don't care if you pray for me, but I don't want anything to do with this God and Jesus." I looked at him, and I thought, "Oh, okay." But I prayed in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father every time I prayed. This went on for about two, almost 3 months, and he began to decline and go down. One day I walked in to the facility, and one of the nurses said, "Are you going to go in and look in on him today?" I said, "Well, I've got two other patients. Well, he's not doing good. I don't think he'll last much longer." So I walked in, walked to his bedside, and I had to awaken him because he was asleep, and I said, "I understand you're not doing too good." He said, "Oh..." By this time, he had gone from chaplain, he called me Padre. That was an endearing name for me. He called me Padre. He said, "Oh, Padre, I think I'm checking out." He said, "Would you pray for me?" First time he ever said that. So I took his hand, and I prayed the gospel. I prayed that he would accept Jesus as his personal Savior, and that he would make it to heaven. And when I finished praying, he was looking at me and he said, "Padre, let me ask you something. Are you going to heaven?" I said, "I sure am." He said, "Well, I'll just tag along with you." I said, "It doesn't work that way." "Well," he said, "you know, I really haven't worried about it. When we die, we all go to heaven." I said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Would you like to make sure you make it to heaven?" He said, "Well, yeah, we all want to get there." I said, "Well, let's make sure you do." I said, "Take my hand and pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you rose from the grave. And in my belief, you are coming into my life. So forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins." And he prayed this whole prayer. We went on and prayed a little more. The reason I knew it was real, because as we were praying, he was laying on his side. I watched tears stream down his cheeks. I walked out of his room, went and saw my other patients, and about 45 minutes later came back, and the nurse was coming out. She said, "Oh, chaplain, he's gone. His future and his hope was established." Hallelujah. Thank God that I took time to help him know how much God loves him. And I quoted the word of God and pinned his hope and his future on what God had prepared for him, a home in heaven. Here you sit, everything's got, you got it together. You're not dying. We've got a couple that need the touch of God in their hand, or their home is heaven. And we'll pray for their, I believe in divine healing. I'm a recipient of the divine healing of God, so I understand it. Miraculous healing. But God is in such control that we can know Acts 17:28, in Christ we live, we move, and we have our existence. So I don't know what tomorrow holds, the old hymn says, but I know who holds tomorrow. What a hope and what a future. Good, I've got another hour and a half yet. No, I'll be done shortly. When I got to this point, I really sought the Lord on it. Like I told you, I'm a preacher's kid. I was raised in my dad's church. And I grew up where across the front was an altar. We don't see them in churches anymore, and I'm not being critical of or finding fault with. It's a unique, wonderful day where people come to the Lord, not at an altar, but wherever the Holy Spirit brings them. But I grew up where, when people were called to come and kneel. When I was 7 years old, my dad's church, my dad preached a sermon about Jesus, and I went, well, I think I need him. I was seven. I came down, knelt at that altar, and I'll never forget Lela Bruce. She's in heaven. She was an older lady in my dad's church. She came and knelt beside me, put her arm around me, prayed with me the sinner's prayer, and at 7 years old, I gave my heart and life to Jesus. Now, it was later on that I really pulled it together, and the Holy Spirit finally got a hold of my life and called me into the ministry. But I remember walking from, I had to sit in the front pew for many years. When I got a little older, I could graduate to the second pew. And the greatest day of my life was when I got to go to the balcony. But my dad would always say, you sit where I can see you. But I remember what drew me down was a song we used to sing that we haven't heard, I think, since the Billy Graham days. Maybe it happens at some other places and I just can't remember. But you remember the old song? Just as I am without one plea. Some of you don't even know in the world what I'm doing. That's an old, old hymn. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God. And the point that I want to make here is maybe we every day need to reaffirm our commitment to the Lord. Look what David said in verse 8, O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is your refuge. Pour out your heart. Oh, man. Does anybody ever feel like you're not born again besides me in the place? Oh, I think we all do. Our flesh, what did the worship leader say? We die every day. I have that scripture written down here. We die daily. Paul wrote that. Daily he had, oh Lord, here I am. Here I am. Here's my life. We have to know that his mercies, Lamentations 3:23, his mercies are new every day, and we come just as we are. Isaiah 32:17 says, being right with God will bring peace. Peggy used to say something, I don't think she says it much anymore, but she used to say, I'm going to kill for peace in my home. Peace. It'll come when you focus on God, counsel yourself in his word, pin your future hopes on him, and daily give your life to him. Daily. Maybe you, today, maybe you're sitting here, and you've grown cold. You've grown weary and kind of lackadaisical. And the Holy Spirit is gently using this word to say, come to me. Just come to me and give yourself to me. Romans 2:4 says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see his kindness is intended to turn you from sin? Hallelujah. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. I stand as a sinner cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's an old hymn of the church that we don't sing anymore. Washed in the blood of Jesus. Well, every day, I have to do that. Every day. So reaffirm. And when you reaffirm yourself, you can say with David or with Paul in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And Hebrews 4:14 says, let us hold firmly to what we believe. You said something in your prayer that my grandfather used to say to me. I've been privileged to have been mentored by some outstanding men. Obviously, one was my father. Another was a man who pastored the same church for 47 years. Frank Smith, great man of God. I was his first full-time youth pastor back in the 70s. Remember? The good old days. Back in the 70s. Everything I do today, that man influenced me. And then there was another man I could drop a name, and that would, I'm not going to do that, but it's a great man of God that influenced me. But one of the greatest influences in my life was my grandfather. My grandfather was a stoic German, about 6'2", and I mean, holiness was his moniker. When TV first came out, he would not have it. He wouldn't have it. That was of the enemy. He wouldn't have a TV in his house. That's what my grandfather. But my grandfather would look at me as a young boy growing up, then a teenager, and then years later when we would cross paths, and he'd say, grandson, whatever you do in faith believing. And faith believing means the just shall live by faith. I stand firm on the faith that God has placed. See, we've all been given a measure of faith, and the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can remove a mountain, and that brings peace to us, but we believe. Nothing's going to rock my belief system. So in faith believing, reaffirm your relationship with God every day, stand firm, and then listen to what Paul said in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. Well, common people are as worthless as a puff of wind. I don't think that's any of us in this room if we've come to a relationship with God. So we come in the atmosphere and attitude and the presence of God, and we say to him, as Moses said when he was called to go get the children of Israel. Moses said, I'm not going unless you go with me. Not going anywhere unless you're with me. I believe this word is for all of us today. We need the peace of Jesus to guard our hearts and our lives. And you can energize that peace by one very important thing. I love verse 17, or I'm sorry, 11 and 12 of our text. God has spoken plainly, and I've heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love. I believe we sang that in one of our songs. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. You're going to start the book of James next week. Well, that's a great, great book. And that first chapter you may take you a little bit to get through that first chapter. Count it all joy. Let patience have its complete work, lacking in nothing, full and complete. But on down that chapter, and I'm sure your pastor's going to unfold it, and so you have an understanding. But it says, don't be just a hearer of the word, but a doer. I haven't come just to slap my gums up and down. I haven't come just because it was an opportunity. I've come by divine appointment and anointed for this moment to bring the word of God to you and to let you know you are secure in Christ Jesus and you have his peace and you can walk in his peace. But you can't be just a hearer of what I'm saying. You must be a doer. John 13, 17 says, now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So here you go. He'll bless you for doing them. So there you are. I cut it short. But I ask you this, which is it? This or this? This is no peace. This is the peace. As I pastored for many years, I learned from one of the men that mentored me, Frank Smith, Des Moines, Iowa. He would finish, the man was amazing. He went to school in Los Angeles, and he'd go up behind where he went to school back in the good old days when you could hang out at night in Los Angeles, and he memorized the Word of God. I mean memorized. That man knew scriptures like you cannot believe. I was going out with him one day to pray for cows. We had a man in his church that had the largest farm in the central Iowa, and the cows were dying. They were just dropping over some, and they were it just and so. Called the pastor coming. He pastor said, "Come on, go with me. We're going to pray for a bunch of cows." So I got in the car and we're driving out, I'm just a green little know-it-all kid. Back in those days, and he looked at me, he says, oh, I don't know give me a scripture. And I looked at him and I said, Jesus wept. I didn't know. But we get there, and you got to understand, back in the day, pastors wore ties, white shirts, suits, that's it. That's how they dress. Some still do. I'm glad we don't have to. But here he is, we get to the farm, and the cow had just fallen over. We walk out, and pastor gets down on the ground, puts his left arm under the neck and around the neck, and begins to quote, I don't remember the exact word, but my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he said, Father, in the name of Jesus, stop this infection that is taking these cows. And as the Lord is my witness, I stand here and tell you, with him holding on, that cow went, and stood up. And not one cow ever died after that. You see, that's why I can't turn my back on God. I've seen the power work. And so our challenge is here. And Brother Smith used to preach these great sermons, and when he'd finish, he'd look at the congregation and make a statement. I adopted that, and down through the years, I would make that same statement because it's important. And I would get one of two responses, nothing or we do. So I say this to you this morning. I asked for permission with Randy. I say this to you this morning. Out of the depths of my heart, I have given you what I feel the Lord wanted you to hear. One or two or all of you needed to hear what I have said that today. Do you receive this word? Yes. Hallelujah. Father God, we want to not be just hearers, but doers. Help us to focus on you this week. Help us to allow your word to counsel us. Help us to understand that, Lord, everything we are, we do is because of your, and so we pin our future and our hope on you. And then, Lord, we just, again, today, forgive us. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I stand here saying that for me today, but I lift up this phenomenal church here in French Valley. Your blessing upon them, blessing upon Pastor Rick and all of the leadership that is a part of this church. I pray that no weapon formed against them will prosper, but as they receive your word, they walk as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And as we sung, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm always happy to pray for anybody that needs prayer. And so I will stand here if you want some prayer. I gladly, lovingly pray for you. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.